This is the art of discussing, where everyone is committed to having discussions with people sharing different points of view while respecting the person expressing them. We're your hosts. I'm Ben.
And I'm Kate. And we're excited that you've joined us. Let's get to this week's episode. Welcome back to Art of Discussing. I'm Kate, one of your hosts.
And I'm Ben.
And we are here giving a quick update on the Roe v. Wade overturning in June of 2022 and what has happened since, what laws or bills have been passed, what has the impact been state to state, and how it's affected the overall like economic healthcare type industry. So Ben, where do you want to begin? You want to talk about the states that are laws, or do you want to talk through some of the other impacts?
Well, I mean, let's look at what has happened. Near this time last year, right, we had some landmark legislation that was overturned, and in the intervening 12 months, has anything changed? I think the short answer, not to chuckle, but I mean, it remains a very relevant, charged issue that we continue to debate hotly about and talk passionately about, no matter what side of the issue you have opinions for today. Factually, immediately after the overturn, within weeks, there were several states that had trigger laws after the Supreme Court's ruling triggered some laws already approved and now would come into effect for those states, some trigger laws. And now I believe we're up to, is it, correct me if I'm wrong, 18 states?
I think I saw 24 either have full bans or some sort of restriction.
Some sort of restriction. Okay. I count 13 states that have a near or total ban in place. And then another, Florida have like 6-week bans in place. So a few have, bans have at under 20-week bans that are taking effect. And there are more to come. There are others that still have legislation that haven't passed in their state legislatures, and they still are still talking about them. Speaking of legislatures, that's at a state level. Another fact is on a national level, we have had legislation introduced first by the Senate. I see senators from Colorado, Bennett and Hickenlooper, have introduced a bill, the Women's Health, let me make sure I get this name right, the Women's Health Protection Act of 2023 was introduced back in March of 2023, early March, and introduced once and then introduced twice the next day, and it didn't seem to catch on. It looked like the second time it got 49 votes and didn't get the majority it needed to pass the Senate. So it didn't go anywhere. Then it was sponsored by Democratic Representative of California, Judy Chu, in the House of Representatives. And that was on April. That was in April. I'm sorry. She sponsored it in March 30th. And the last action on that bill was on April 7th. 2023, as it was referred to the Subcommittee on Health, Subcommittee of the Energy and Commerce Committee of the House of Representatives. So legislation is being introduced, being shot down. It's definitely being, talked about and still highly relevant. So it's currently going about the halls of Congress.
So I saw The Economist and I didn't get into all of it because I didn't have access to all of it. But they said in The Economist, inside of the numbers, whether or not they've declined inside of abortion, their headline is abortions have become 6% rarer since the end of Roe v. Wade. And I thought that number was interesting. So, a decline of 6%, that is despite a rise in abortions administered by virtual clinics, which prescribe different drugs that could, that can promote a or start an abortion, I guess, or, medically provide an
Induce
abortion.
an abortion, right?
So I thought that was interesting. The other thing that I thought it was interesting was only 6%. So I don't know if people are traveling and that's an economic impact going to other states or what that looked like. That was from July to December of 2022. And then in that time period, and then 100 days post Roe v. Wade's overturning, it said at least 66. This was Guttmacher's. I'm sorry if I butchered that. Guttmacher Institute, who apparently is like does they're pro-abortion, but they have a lot of the stats and stuff. So that I guess both sides, according to Pew Research, use. And they had 100 days post, at least 66 clinics across 15 US states have stopped offering abortion care. So, going from kind of the laws that would impact both people's ability economically to obtain an abortion or potentially, or the business side of it inside of those companies or organizations or health providers that were previously doing abortions, there's some impact inside of that, I think, that hasn't really been talked about. And I'm curious what those numbers are. I'd be curious because you don't really hear about, you hear about the women's, the impact to a woman who wants to get an abortion and is in a state who doesn't allow it now, or who doesn't, it's 7 weeks instead of six, and you're in Texas type situation, you're not allowed to abort. So the other thing that we always hear is all of those like situational things, like in the case of sexual assault that you're pregnant, or health to a mother, or any of those things. So to me, I feel like I wonder what those costs are going to be. And this should not necessarily be a cost issue or a business issue, but it's an issue that or that's an aspect I don't hear a lot about inside of, what we're hearing mainstream with abortion, Roe v. Wade. So, and it's frustrating to me that a lot of what you're hearing is this vitriol about the overturning of Roe v. Wade, but if there was a bill that was introduced, and I know Ben, your favorite line is just write a bill, just write, right? So if there was a law that was introduced or a bill that was introduced, and like it's not just their responsibility, but it's also ours because they are supposed to represent and work for us to hold people to account for moving a federal law forward, if that is the opinion of the majority of the country, which I think the numbers are in like the 60s percent are for abortion, 34 or something is not. According to Pew Research, I think I saw. So, similar to both of us had opinions about the overturning of Roe v. Wade, but the actual reason for it being overturned made sense and was legal, technically, according to the current laws. That's what we talked about. And we're, I think, a little surprised by in June when we were mentioning or talking about this. This is kind of the same thing. Like, if we're going to do this the right way, and there's a federal law that then gets interpreted or tested or, goes through the up the chain and make sure it's constitutional or unconstitutional, whichever, however they wrote it, right? Like, it starts with a bill. It starts with a law. So how, if we're so angry as a nation about this, where's that pressure on the representatives to put the law together and get it passed? That's kind of interesting. When I didn't see that in my research. So when you brought that up as we were like preparing for this, a couple of minutes ago, I was like, that just kind of made me a little frustrated. Like, how is there a law that I feel like you would get at least some on both sides, having some willingness to work across the line, I would say, like the political parties, I would hope, to at least get this move forward, or at least have it like do their job if that's what the nation wants. So I think we're still in that kind of, as much as the change has happened, I think that there's still sort of a raw or like anger about this topic that we're not able to, either not able to or not willing to like try to be like, why haven't you guys, like, how do we fix this versus just being mad about it right now still?
I think that that's a very valid observation, right? Like, raw. I think that's very well put. There is certainly a great deal of charge around the emotion surrounding this topic.
Even after a year,
Even after a year,
I feel like we haven't, like, I feel like it
even
hasn't
after 50
diminished.
years, right?
Well, but I'm
Even
saying I feel like it hasn't even diminished that much in the last year. Like, it's such a hot button topic. And it's
this is
almost
true.
back into the minds of the voters of how they're voting for people potentially too. Like, it's something I haven't, I hadn't realized until I started reading all this. Like, there's so much divisiveness and anger on either side, right? Like, but I think there is that it's just even a year later, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're it may be below the surface more, but I feel like it's still very, I don't think it's diminished that much, especially depending on who you talk to.
That's true. And I think we have a lot of work, there's a lot of opportunity to listen to what concerns us, right? Listen to what concerns me, listen to what concerns, those that don't think the same thing as me, and just get all of those concerns, just have them all out on the same table. And with a modicum of decorum, right? Like maybe keep our tone civil. Maybe we can refrain from name calling. Let's look at what we're trying to achieve. Let's see if there's any common ground, right? I'm sure we'd all like to think we want to do the right thing. Let's start there. And give and take. I mean, are we going to have a perfect answer? Maybe not initially, right? Maybe not initially. And it's not a simple cut and dry issue. It just isn't. It's not as red or blue, right or left, up or down, pro or con, for or against, as we'd like to paint it as often as we do. So with that, we'll keep an issue, we'll keep an eye on this, and we'll, as time goes on, this discussion will continue. I'm sure more actions will be taken. I'm sure more legislation will be proposed.
Well,
We're
speaking of legislation, do you want to talk about the abortion pill, that case that's going through the process right now?
That's right.
Because the impact isn't just inside of literal abortions. It's also if you, there was cases that you even mentioned, like that were health concerns to the mother or,
Right.
whatever. So it could be that, I don't know how they're justifying the abortion pill, but there's other cases that are going up to, through the ranks right now, both inside of like health concerns as well as this one, which is like potentially, I think Texas is trying to almost criminalize the abortion pill. I don't remember how to say it or the name of it, but that like if you do it across state lines and you get it from like a virtual clinic and they mail it to you, you could be criminally responsible for something. I think it's a broader issue than I go to a clinic and have an abortion.
Right. The drug you're referring to, and I don't know the proper pronunciation as well, mifepristone, I believe it's called. Mifepristone is a medication used in chemical abortions, and a court case in Texas is seeking to revoke the FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration's approval of that pharmaceutical medication, so that nationwide it would not be allowed to be used, even in states where abortion is protected. So that case is currently at the Federal Court of Appeal, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and is expected to reach the Supreme Court. So we'll see.
And it's based, I think, if I remember correctly, on how they did the trials or how they did the research, something like that in the early 2000s when it was introduced. Like they're saying that it wasn't credible or they didn't have everything they needed inside of that. Like they didn't do their due justice, due diligence inside of all the trial, I think, portion or the research portion of it. So, what if I remember correctly and what I read, but that's a federal. Would you say regulation? It's a federal
I mean, the approval
approval, I
is
guess.
nationwide, right?
Yeah,
Like, so
so.
it's a federal agency, and so its stamp of approval means that it can be used, and the seeking of overturning that means it will not be able to be used nationwide, even in states that allow abortion. So that would have wide-reaching effects, just like the overturning decision of for Roe v. Wade. And the impact on women's health in this country would be significant. It is already having quite the impact, as Texas, again, with court cases, is being sued, in fact, by eight women who are alleging that their abortion bans have significantly negatively impacted their health in one way or another, for different reasons. And the article I read mentioned one lady having sepsis, and the ban allowing her not to have medical attention until a certain point that almost threatened her life. Another lady being forced to have bring her non-viable pregnancy to term because of the abortion ban. So there's impacts to women's health for these reasons, specific cases, right? And then also perhaps reasons that are not intended effects, like you pointed to before, if abortion providers in these states that with bans are losing their livelihood and being, now they're forced to leave. These are still medically trained personnel that are no longer available, and they're leaving the area. Conversely, you also have medical professionals who may choose not to relocate to that area to provide services, and now you have a deficiency of services for women's reproductive health in that area, which, if not now, soon, may cause a negative impact.
Yeah, so I think bottom line, back to your point, that all shows how complicated the topic is and the
Right.
opinions,
And
right? Like
intricate.
people's opinions and thoughts and beliefs. It's gotten boiled down to like you are, you aren't, right? You for or you're not. But there's a
Right.
lot of nuance inside of it and there's a lot of impacts. And I think a lot of what we're seeing too is 50 years of historical, like taking for granted, let's say, of things being there and industries and rights and privilege, whatever, all those things. Like now you're starting to see kind of the cracks inside of that of how these could have impacts more broadly reached. Now, I'm not saying that this is all illegal. We're saying this is technically how the laws are set up now, which is why it was overturned. And I don't think either of us are saying bad or good. We're just giving you the facts of like, here are the cases that have been coming through. Here's, we have opinions about things, sure, but technically, like, if we're not willing to actually have those conversations to get something passed as a nation, if you agree that or you believe that abortion should be okay, then this is where we're going to be. Because technically, this is a state by state issue. There is nothing in the Constitution specifically protecting this unless we change it or we put a federal law into place again. So I feel like there's a lot of opinions, and I just want to make sure that, you and I are being responsible inside of this quick update on we're basically giving you the facts inside of here are some things that we have found are the impacts. Like it's reaching in other areas, not just that this, which I mean makes sense. You could have foreseen that last June, but now we're seeing how that's playing out.
Right. Right. Well, this has been an update on the overturn of Roe v. Wade 1 year hence, brought to you by The Art of Discussing. I'm Ben.
And I'm Kate.
Keep discussing.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, follow us on social media, and check out our Patreon page. Leave us a review on your listening platform if you like the podcast. If you haven't heard your viewpoint or would like to be a guest, email us at info@artofdiscussing.com.
Till next time, remember there's more sides to the story than yours. Look, listen, and learn, and keep
Keep
discussing.
discussing.